there was an awful lot going on before the boycott movement actually got going. I mean, here she has gone back, Christopher's gone back to 1958, and I'm sure, and you know, there were things going on all the time which were probably either being organised by the MCF or Committee of African Organisations. So in a way, Boycott Boycott Anti-Apartheid Movement, to, you know, mobilised the opinion on South Africa and took that forward, as it were. So, there was a terrible amount of racial tension in London at the time. Well, in most of Britain, certainly in London. There had been race riots in Notting Hill, and someone that was killed there. And the union movement, I think, at the time, Mosley. Mm-hmm. Mosley's outfit. And he, I think, was standing for election in the Notting Hill area as an MP or something. But he didn't get elected. So there was a great deal, you know, the Race Relations Act, he only came in about, say, 1976. So there would be enormous, I mean, people, black people, coloured people of any description, I mean, if they were white, would be very likely to be turned down for accommodation or jobs. Or even maybe going in a restaurant or a pub, you know. That's all quite well documented, that period. And so what I'm saying, basically, is this is what's the background of what was happening. Which is why they rather objected to our doing things for the blacks, I suppose, as the National Front. Well, they became the National Front, the Union Movement. Some of the people were arrested and charged, but they were found not guilty.
Mm-hmm. For burning down your office.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't actually burned down, it was an arson. It was smoke damage and some damage to the furniture and that, you know. But, I mean, it meant we had to get out of there, and it also meant that we had great difficulties in getting accommodation because nobody wanted to know about us, because we were,
drawing attention from this.
Yes, I mean, if you go to, you went to estate agents, what's the name of your organisation? Yes, they didn't want to know about, regarded us as, a political organisation. And someone was likely to draw attention, you know, to get their premises damaged, you see. Mm. And I remember having a long argument or interview, it was quite friendly, with an estate agent. And these were commercial estate agents, you see. They weren't just letting flats, these were offices. We were trying to rent an office. And he was saying, well, what exactly are you? How do you define yourself? And I actually hadn't thought about how we defined ourselves in that sense. And he said, you're a political pressure group, aren't you, you see? He said, you will find it difficult to get accommodation. It was about the phone called Die Groot Collis. I don't know whether there's a Dutch connection there. I don't know if this still exists. But I had this long conversation with him, and I got nowhere, you know. And we eventually... Do you like a
picture? No, I'm fine.
Eventually, I was walking around Bloomsbury, and an African student stopped me, and he said, are you still looking for offices? I said, yeah. I think I've probably just been or come from, viewing somewhere that wasn't suitable. He said, he told me that the NUS had a room, National Union of Students, had a room in a building in Ensley Street, an office that was vacant. And, that was fantastic, because... I believe Abdul, I think, went to see them, and they let us have the room. They let the room to us, so that was wonderful, because we had somewhere to move to.